Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
The swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Letting go, God.
Welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This is live on WOZO 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is April 3rd, 2019. And if it's not April 3rd, 2019, when you're listening to this, then you're listening to a rebroadcast of the show and should not be trying to call in. I am Dieter Five, and as usual, we have a guest with us, and his name is Carl Ludendecker. You're the president of Rationalist of East Tennessee in Knoxville, is that correct? Yeah, very good. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, God's holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville or East Tennessee, well, you're not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them. And listen or find out about the TV show as well. The details of that will be following the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there was an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville? You knew that, Carl.
No.
Yeah, you did. You've been on it. It's been on the air.
Oh, you said it was.
Yeah, no, it's still on the air for 9 years now, and you can. We'll tell you about how you can connect with that and listen to it, watch it after the mid-show break as well. And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you can be hearing some of them right here on this program and generally on this station as they are in rotation. What's our topic today, Carl? I believe you brought the topic with you.
Oh, yes. The Rationalists in Tennessee are going to have a speaker on May 19th. And his name is Andrew Seidel. And his book is basically centered, he's going to be talking about his book, which is centered on the concept that religious nationalism is un-American. I'll pull up the title of that in a minute.
Particularly Christian nationalism.
Yeah, Christian nationalism, yeah, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I left that part out.
Yeah. Well, you said religious nationalism. That's true.
Well, I guess in a general sense. Uh-huh. So I thought maybe we could just kind of try to second guess what might be talked about in his presentation and see how close we get to
what
he covers. He's an attorney, so he'll probably have a lot more than we have, but we'll give it a shot.
Okay, sounds good. Go ahead. Go for it.
You want me to start?
Okay. Yes.
Well, I guess first to decide what's un-American, you have to decide what it means to be American, what the values are. And to different groups, probably are different sort of approaches. From a rationalist, humanist, free thought, and constitutional position, that's going to be based on the general ideas of the Enlightenment and what the Founding Fathers said in developing the Constitution.
Yeah. Now, what about the Enlightenment? You want to tell us just a little bit about that? That happened, of course, well before the founding of this country, and the Founding Fathers knew all about the Enlightenment. But what is the Enlightenment, in case the listener is not familiar with it?
Hopefully I'm familiar enough with it. excuse me. It was basically sort of the change out of the whole medieval mentality, where the whole idea of sort of the value of human approach, the value of knowledge, looking back some of the things the Greeks did, came to pull out of the whole strictly supernatural notion and everything was focused on God, and started focusing more on humanity and the whole sort of logical process of making discoveries.
It's basically the thing that got us out of the Middle Ages, or out of the Dark Ages, per se, where religion and government, or regal government, dominated every portion or every area of life. And I just did a real quick Google search on it, and it says the Age of Enlightenment, also known as the Age of Reason, or simply the Enlightenment, was an intellectual and philosophical movement that dominated the world of ideas in Europe during the 18th century, which was the century of philosophy, also known as the Age of Science and philosophy. So we pretty much, as humanity, pulled ourselves up by the bootstraps at that time and launched the scientific age, as it were.
Yeah, we had a little boost from the Greeks, but
yeah, well, I count them as helping us lift ourselves up.
So the bootstraps and a little
right.
stepping stone,
our sandal straps. Yeah, but the founding fathers had all of this in mind when they wrote the Constitution, when they were setting up the laws that we will live by in this country. And if you notice in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, there's not a single mention of Jesus or religion, other than saying that we should have a separation in our government between religion and the government, the state. The one time it mentions religion in the Constitution is saying that Congress shall make no laws involving the creation of a religion or the
establishment.
The Establishment Clause, as it were.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion, argument. Madison actually wanted stronger language, and I think it failed in the Senate when he was trying to get that passed. But there was a compromise, and that's how we ended up with the final version.
And of course, Jefferson was a kind of a deist. He actually created his own Bible. You knew that, didn't
Jefferson
you?
Jefferson Bible, yeah.
Jeffersonian Bible, where he threw out the Old Testament and also excised the New Testament of any miracle claims that were in it, and simply just went with the teachings of Jesus. But he never was one strong for religion.
That book's still available.
Oh, yeah.
A new edition from the Smithsonian.
Yeah. You can go, matter of fact, you can go to Amazon or even, what is it, where that printing press, Gutenberg. Gutenberg Online has free text of all these ancient or old documents, and you can just download them from there.
It was sort of a hacking of the Bible in a literal sense.
Right, it was.
He had scissors and cut up the
Yeah, he threw out the bathwater but kept the baby. Another founder that really had a sense of how religion can poison everything, pretty much, was Thomas Paine. He literally wrote The Age of Reason, which was one of his latest works. He wrote a lot of revolutionary documents that helped us keep our backbone nationally during the Revolutionary War with England. But one of the last things he wrote, if not the last thing, was The Age of Reason. And he was a national hero up to that point, but once he started knocking religion, people started disassociating themselves with him.
Yeah, he believed in a God, but it was a deist God. He was pointing out the absurdities of the Bible and how they didn't really fit with the deist God concept. Mm-hmm. And of course, that made it so he was no longer celebrated, and it's really hard to find. I think there's one or two statues. One of them was just statues for him, but he was pretty much vilified as, I think it was in the early 1900s, somewhere in there.
Yeah, he wrote most of Age of Reason in a prison cell in France, being marked for death.
French Revolution, yeah.
Interesting story. They marked the doors for the prisoners in the Revolutionary War in France, the prisoners that were going to be killed, guillotined. And he had a cold. He had a bad respiratory infection. So they left his door open so that he could get some air, and the people who came by and got the prisoners that were going to go be guillotined missed his door because he had a cold and the door was open.
I never heard that story. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Saved by the cold.
Right. But he was maligned so badly by religious people that we literally do not know where his bones are. When he died, he was dug up and reinterred two or three times, and we have literally lost track of where his bones are. We don't know where they are now.
But his book survives.
His book survived, his ideas survive, and his name survives. Matter of fact, it's lucky that his name does survive, but we can give a lot of credit to that to Robert G. Ingersoll, the great agnostic. Religious people in religious forces in the government and in lay life, clergy, were trying to bury his memory. But Robert G. Ingersoll would have nothing of it. He resurrected his name and used his legacy, used his story in many of his speeches and writings. If you don't know who Robert G. Ingersoll is, they called him the Great Agnostic. He lived during the Civil War and toured the country after the Civil War as a speaker and gathered large crowds wherever he went to talk about secularism, agnosticism, atheism, free thought, and had a kind of a revival for free thought during that period.
Yeah, he's one of the best-known people in the world at that time.
Yeah.
He also gave talks and other things, but it was primarily his issues with Christianity.
Yeah. He was close friends with Thomas Edison and Mark Twain. Matter of fact, one of the few early recordings that Edison did was of Robert G. Ingersoll's voice.
It's low quality, by the way.
It's very low quality, but you can go on YouTube and hear it. Just go to YouTube, type in Edison and Robert G. Ingersoll recording, and you can hear it.
Yeah, he was suppressed, too. He was suppressed, too, after his death. He sort of had a revival, I think, with the Internet. Quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, Dan Barker tells a story. He's a co-president of the Freedom of Religion Foundation. Tells a story that he was attending a church, and he was still a believer. I think he was in transition, or maybe he hadn't quite started to doubt a whole lot at that time. But the preacher was trying to make a point that atheists of the past have been suppressed, and you don't hear them anymore. He didn't say it that way, but that's what it amounted to. And one of the things he said was, who's ever heard of Robert Greene Ingersoll? And Jim Barker said, I haven't. I guess I'll try to find out who that is.
Who said that?
The preacher he was going listening to.
Yeah,
well, so the preacher sent him.
Well, I would encourage anybody in our audience who's not heard of him to look him up. Robert G. Ingersoll, the great agnostic. There's a lot of audio works out there, and all of his speeches and writings are still available for free on the Internet. One of my favorite ones is called The Gods. Another one is called The Ghosts. And a third one, I think, was Some Mistakes of Moses. Where he takes the Pentateuch and makes it a new one.
Yeah, he was kind of a problem for the Christians. He was a very devout family man, a very honest man. He was a major player in the Republican Party of the time. Wrote speeches, I think, for almost all the winning candidates of national prominence.
Uh-huh.
He probably could have run for president if he weren't an agnostic. He was so honest. He actually a story where he gave a woman advice on a widowed woman who asked for his advice on investment, and he must have hung around with Mark Twain too much because it wasn't a good investment. Mark Twain was known for bad investments.
Yeah, yeah.
And she lost all of her money. And so he felt so bad about it. He actually paid it out of his own money, the money she lost to her.
Yeah. He was an incredibly creative writer. But as far as investments go, he would believe people and invest in things that just had no real virtue to them. One of the things that I mentioned a little earlier about Robert Ingersoll's writings was called The Ghosts. And I thought that was a rather interesting title until it still is, until I got into it. Do you know what it means?
I haven't read that one.
It's basically he's saying that we are living under the strictures of ghosts. because the people who wrote the Bible are long dead, but we still have to toe their line. They are still dictating what we're doing in 2020 or 2019, and it's dumb that we would pay that much attention to somebody who's been dead and have awful ideas like slavery and stoning people to death, cutting off arms and legs, that type of thing, that we would still find that compelling, but yeah, we do.
I say it's only considered dumb if you've actually heard alternatives, which most people haven't really heard. Many people haven't heard, especially in rural areas in the South.
Well, I'm just saying, they must have heard, they have TV and radio and the internet, and at least TV and radio, and they should know that as a result of the Civil War, that slavery wasn't a good idea. But
rationalization is,
yes, that's
a
true
major component in all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, of course, that's the problem with the Bible. You can pull anything you want to out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find the really good stuff, but
yeah,
a little bit in there you can claim. Which kind of, you were talking about the ghost thing, kind of remind me of some of the ideas on the, with the Enlightenment, the whole idea of personal freedom came up. I mean, it wasn't really, there weren't concepts like that in the Bible. The Bible isn't
personal
a source.
Personal freedom?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So, you know, that
wasn't
the source.
Obeying.
That wasn't the source of the Constitution.
Yeah.
In that respect, for sure.
Right.
The and the whole idea of freedom of conscience actually somewhat existed pre-Christianity because generally, especially where Christianity evolved in the Roman Empire and all those sort of things, you could believe whatever you wanted. In the Roman Empire, you just had to believe what you wanted, plus, say, you believe what the Romans believe because they wanted that as a sort of a statement of being
support for the state.
For the state.
Mm-hmm. It's been interesting that the first time that the word atheist was ever used and written and published was in Rome when they called Christians atheists because they didn't believe in the Roman gods.
Yeah.
So how ironic is that?
I remember it was a lecture I heard by Bart Ehrman. He was talking about the persecution of Christians and how that was misrepresented quite often, severely misrepresented, because they weren't persecuted that much. But he gave an example of a Roman governor who was supposed to get a Christian to say he would accept the gods of Rome, basically saying he would accept Rome. And he said, yeah, all you have to do is do that. You don't know what else you do, just say that. And the guy refused. And I think he called him back again another time and begged with him, just, you know, say this. I don't care what else you think, but just...
Calling the Christian back to getting him to... Trying to get him to...
Another chance to not have to face the whatever the punishment was he was facing.
And he ended up being killed?
Yes, I believe so.
Fed to the lions, as it were?
There were various methods. I don't remember which one was used. So the whole idea of that freedom of conscience really started to disappear with Christianity, because Christianity was set up in a way that required you had to believe, not initially, but it became that you had to believe just that, or you were bad and everything horrible would happen to you.
I've always felt that the Bible were boiled down into two words, one word for the Old Testament, one word for the New. The Old Testament could be boiled down into obey. Everything about the Old Testament is God is powerful and you have to obey.
Obey or die.
Yeah, right. And the New Testament's all about believe. You have to believe to get into heaven or you'll lose your eternal soul. So it's all about obedience and belief.
And human sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah.
A little detail.
Uh-huh, right.
So freedom of conscience really had to kind of be resurrected in the Enlightenment, mm-hmm. and especially in the forming of the American Constitution and the values associated with it. So the other thing that was a big component was the idea of civil government. It was really beginning in England and sort of other places where this whole separation of civil authority and doing things because there are reasons, not because of the authority of the past or dictates the past. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where the whole free thought idea came from, to be able to free to think beyond those authorities. Unfortunately, that's been a little twisted around somehow. Right. But civil government's a big component that also was not in the Bible.
What, the free component?
Well, civil government.
Oh, except for Rome. I mean, render unto Caesar. I mean, they had to obey the government statutes or die. They were compelled to under the law, and they, since the Rome didn't share the same religion that they did, it had to have been a secular influence, since they couldn't have a common belief system. But they basically said that, God puts the leaders in place, yeah. And in that case, in that time, it was the Roman emperors. So
it was an attempt at civil government. I mean, there was some of that
attempt of recognizing
some of that government in Greece, and there was a little bit carried on into Rome. Mm-hmm. So it's part of the thing. But the idea from the time of Christianity, there's no civil government, and the Bible didn't really support civil government. Remember Jesus' whole thing about end of the world was the end of the Roman Empire. That's what he was trying to end. So he was against the Roman Empire and the civil government.
Yeah.
So again, Christianity wasn't a supporter of civil government.
Yeah, it's all about obedience. Nothing about personal freedom. And even when they do talk about freedom, they're talking about the freedom of their tribe, the freedom of the Judaistic tribes. Anybody else in the next town over, the next village, the next city, whatever, if they weren't Jewish, if they weren't Israelis,
or the right kind of Jews.
Yeah, or the right kind. Then they were fair game for attacking, enslaving, tricking. When their freedom was really basically just for the followers of Yahweh.
Yeah, well, the whole religious concept is Judeo-Christian and others, not all, but as, like you said, authoritarian, and God basically an arbitrary use of unlimited power, which is not the concept
right.
of freedom or anything to do
no.
with the Constitution.
The exact opposite, when you have an all-powerful judge able to read your every thought and intention, whether you express it or not, is the exact opposite of freedom.
Well, God or Jesus, the whole Holy Ghost sort of thing is all kind of mishmashed together, but you could call God or Jesus because they don't seem to have a separation in most Christian minds. We're really judge, jury, and executioners.
Right.
And what's the right word? Insecure dictators always needed people pleading and sucking up to them, basically.
Sycophants, as it were.
Yeah. You talked about God always knowing what's going on. Talk about an intrusive state.
Oh, yeah.
Not only are you being observed in every millisecond.
Mm-hmm. Essentially. Even when you're asleep, he sees your dreams. I mean, there's no escape. Matter of fact, if you buy into the belief system, there's no escape in death, because even then you are subject to his whims and sent to worship him for the rest of eternity.
That would be exciting when I do that.
Most people can't stand an hour in church. Can you imagine 24/7 for eternity?
I hope they. We were joking the other day with a friend of mine that they must not let people who can't sing well into heaven, because that'd really be a bad choir.
Right, right. Well, like there's a real argument going on. Is there free will in heaven? If there is, then there's a possibility of evil.
Well,
and
I think
if there's not,
I think
then
the
it's just slavery.
Yeah, I think the only occurrence of that would be Lucifer and getting kicked out. So basically they're in free will.
Yeah, a lot of people would say that's angels. They're a different race. They're not human, so we can't really go by that.
But still, he didn't have free will. He was a higher rank.
he did have free will, because he theoretically rebelled against God. And how could a God who is all powerful even have a war waged against him? Could he just blink them out of existence, or at least change their mind?
That's part of the whole evolutionary concept of idea of religion, how it happened, is that the whole idea has changed about relationships between gods and one God and the power relationships, and it's, it's a mishmash of old ideas with multiple gods.
Right.
It's
Well, multiple gods make more sense because you can have competing entities and desires. But if they are all gods, and they're not all powerful, so I mean, but you get one god that's all powerful, and you have minions. How can they possibly rebel against them?
It's sort of a laissez-faire god. You can choose between them.
Yeah.
You can have any of them misuse you. I think also that we stop and think the concept of God. There is no your life. Your life is known ahead of time, supposedly.
Yeah, theoretically.
Theory's wrong. I think mythically would be a better word.
What is it?
I think mythically would be better than theoretically.
Yeah.
I think it gives it too much credence.
Right. To be sure.
So everything's pre-planned. Pre-plan, which contradicts the whole idea of free will and
right.
your being able to make choices, and the whole idea of sin and being able to be saved from it. I mean, it just it all makes. If you really analyze it, it doesn't make sense.
No, not only that, but if God is omniscient, He knows everything you're ever going to do, every decision you're ever going to make. Then there's no free will; it's all pre-planned. But if He's really omniscient, He knows everything He's going to do and every decision He's going to make for the rest of eternity. So therefore, He has no free will.
Yeah.
His life is all planned out, His existence.
Yeah. But all of it sounds very un-American to me.
Yep.
I think it would also include the whole economic system. You know, the idea that you're doing things to make your life better or to expand the economy and come up with these great ideas. God already knew what they're going to be. He just stuck them in you.
Yeah, I'm talking about the pursuit of happiness.
So that sort of undermines capitalism, I think.
Yeah.
But also the idea of there was no equality for women, children, slaves. They were just property.
Right.
So that doesn't fit with especially the more updated ideas of American ideals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When women actually became... they weren't considered property, but they still weren't considered full citizens, not having the vote. And
right. Well, what we're basically talking about, what was the name of this book?
Let me check, make sure I get the title right, because I tend to say it wrong. The Foundation Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American.
Right. And we're basically talking about how Christianity and the American idea of freedom are oxymoronic. You can't have one, you know, which demands subservience throughout your entire life with the concept of freedom and self-autonomy. And we're going to take a break here in a minute, and we're going to come back and continue our discussion. We'll break for a station identification and a song. Let's see what we got here. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we're going to take a break and play Stronger Than Jesus by A Camp, and we'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes.
Who told you love is the Alpha and Omega, and that your heart will lead you to the only one? It's a curse, it's the hammer that will break ya. It's a poison hidden in a bonbon. Don't you know love is stronger than Jesus? Don't you know love can kill anyone? Bring it on, wars and diseases. You know that love can do you like a shotgun. Can't resist them, the sailors and the soldiers. Taking aim, a rabbit on a rifle range.
disaster, standing in line, just looking for a little fun. Love is a fire, a hot, hot blaster. We're the Belgians burning in the Congo sun. We're believers, trusting strangers.
Listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And we're back. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 Live, WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM Live right here in Knoxville. You got to say it right. Today is April 3rd, 7:30 p.m. So if you're listening at that time, you're listening live. Otherwise, it's a podcast or a rebroadcast. Okay, let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. Founded in 2002, we're in our 17th year now. ASK has 920 members as of this morning, and you can call us online or find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org, or you can just Google Knoxville Atheist and you'll find us. We're also a meetup group, so if you go to meetup.com, you can also search there, Knoxville Atheist, just that simple. Also, you can join ASK in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday, every Tuesday evening at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everyone is welcome. That is, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you could still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one, start one. Another free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. RET has bi-weekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. Carl is the president of Rationalists of East Tennessee, and he'll give us a little bit more details as he gets into it right after these announcements. There's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a few years ago and has spread around the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in gods, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet once a month, though, on the fourth Sunday. Look up Sunday Assembly Knoxville. Also, there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement, or would just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. Earlier in the show, we talked about the Atheist Call-In TV show. It's called Free Thought Forum, and you can find it most every Wednesday between 6:30 and 7:30. That's right, it just went off the air. but you can find it on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192 at 6:30 every Wednesday. Or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find archives of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been recording and posting them. Just go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Okay, Carl, you wanted to say a few words about the Rationalists of East Tennessee. What can you tell us about it?
Well, the group actually started in 1995. It was incorporated in 2001 as the Rational City, Tennessee. We do several things. Like Larry mentioned, we have the meetings at the Pellissippi State first and third Sundays. That's at Hardin Valley.
It's church time.
Yeah, it's actually a church right next to us at the same time.
10:30 to 12:30, something like that.
Yeah, 10:30 to 12:30. Oh, thank you. I didn't say the time.
Sure.
And we have usually we have a presentation of some sort one of the Sundays, and a discussion on various topics. Sometimes a topic gets picked and focused on one. Sometimes it's bring your own topic. People submit topics to whoever's leading the discussion. Randomly pick, after deciding how many topics we have and how long we have for each one, we randomly pick them and discuss them as a group. We also have Reflections, which is a potluck afternoon discussion where we eat and then have discussion in a private home. And the book club, RET Skeptic Book Club, meets at Books a Million. And that's the, I always say the wrong Sunday for some reason. The next one's going to be, it's not on that calendar. Third Sunday, I remember the date for the third Sunday. But
Well, I can find it right here. I got a computer.
And the book. But you can look at rationalist.org and get the details, which I seem to be missing.
The 21st.
21st.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And, of course, once a year, sometimes twice, but once a year we have a speaker come in from out of town who will sort of a known figure in the free thought community and often usually nationally well known.
Mm-hmm.
This May 19th is going to be Andrew Seidel, who's an attorney from the Freedom from Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin. And we mentioned the book. He's going to be talking about that book, and it's actually coming out. It'll be the first. It's just coming out as he's giving that talk, so it'll be the first opportunity really to get the book.
Oh, cool!
We'll have books available at the meeting. That'll also be at Pellissippi State, Hardin Valley. Like I said, Sunday 19th. The time hasn't been established yet, but usually around one. But you'll be able to check that out, and we'll do some advertising on that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an Adopt a Highway we do, and various other.
Where is the stretch of highway that you
take
care of?
It's actually on Pellissippi Parkway, kind of from the Burger King up north, 2 miles from there. So there's a sign.
Cool.
Shows that, and apparently one of the few groups that actually do a regular pickup quarterly, like we're supposed to. So that's important. It's probably the main thing. Like I said, you can check rationalist.org. You can also join a meetup for Rationalist East Tennessee and get announcements. There's a Facebook page that's just one you can look at. We actually have a free thought discussion site on Facebook that's not specifically Freedom RET, but RET sort of runs and keeps it going.
Yeah. Some of the other things that RET has done is you put up billboards. You put up Don't Believe in God, You're Not Alone billboards. That was 2 years ago, I think, and put them up in Knoxville and Lenore City.
Yeah, well, Larry was actually instrumental in doing that.
Yeah, that was back when I was president of RET. But that's something, and you mentioned your speaker. Oh, one of the things that I like to tell people when they say, well, which meetup should I go to? Should I go to the atheist meetup or the rationalist meetup? I tell them, well, it usually depends on what you want to do. If you want to sit around and drink beer and have dinner and talk, excuse me, then come to Atheist Society of Knoxville. Now, the rationalist is a little more structured in that you have presentations. You usually have people come in, mill around and talk for a while, discussion, sit down and listen to a presentation. Now, there are presentations that I've been to there that the back and forth went all the way through the presentation. It's not like you're sitting there in church and you can't raise your hand. If you have a question, you can raise your hand and ask the question right then and there.
Occasionally, there's a presenter who wants to go all the way through, but that's not typically the case. Mostly, people are sitting really interested in what they're doing, and will encourage back and forth because they just like the fact that people are interested.
What kind of presentations have you had there?
You're going to test my memory here.
Yeah, I mean, this is only like 22 years of stuff that you got to remember.
I should
remember
like 1,000 of them, but let's see how I go back. One really interesting one was a couple of years ago, the fellow whose name I cannot recall, he's at Oak Ridge right now, who was in charge of the International Space Station, came and talked about the space station.
Yeah, here I am nodding at you. Nobody can hear me nod.
He was very knowledgeable, of course, because he was running it.
Uh-huh.
We've had, at the other end, although not necessarily in quality, we've actually had some of our own members give presentations on topics they've researched, sometimes on physics, sometimes on history.
Yeah.
We've had things range from history of kudzu, from a sort of a social perspective, which actually explained why kudzu was a big deal at the time.
Why it was imported. Get that.
And the rationale behind doing it and why it's all wrong. But we've had talks on humanism.
Evolution.
Mm-hmm. History of East Tennessee.
Free thought law and history of free thought.
Yeah, and the constitutional law. We've had constitutional lawyers
a few times. We've had UT professors come in. We've had attorneys come in and talk about the rights and privileges of church-state separation and why it seems that Christians and other religious folk feel like they have a privileged status. And in some cases, they do, which they shouldn't have. Like the IRS doesn't really require a church to produce documents on the monies that they spend, or any other 501(c) organization, they have to produce those documents. So they do have a certain privileged status here, and this attorney has come in and talked to us about that.
We actually, one of the more recent ones, you never know, some of them might sound like they're not going to be that interesting, but sometimes I'm actually surprised how interesting they are, because the last one was on by an attorney who specialized in, get the right term, specialized in people who are retirement age, getting older, getting towards retirement age.
I can't imagine why you would feel interested in that. You should have some interest in that.
I'm actually beyond that. But and she was very enthusiastic, entertaining, and full of interesting information. And some little trivia things like how you can be buried for free in Tennessee.
Oh, really? I knew veterans could, but I didn't know that anybody.
Yeah, I won't go into details of that, but it just all sorts of fascinating things. So occasionally, I'd say 5% of the time, we've had a speaker that wasn't good, but it's been very few.
Yeah. Some of the ones that I really like is when you don't schedule a speaker and people just put ideas in a hat and we start drawing them out at 10:30 and we talk about them all the way through the meeting. It's very interesting, very edifying.
And there are a lot of people who come who have a broad knowledge base, so you can actually learn quite a bit.
The group itself, Rationalists of East Tennessee, was started in Oak Ridge, wasn't it?
No, it was Knoxville.
Was it Knoxville? But we do have a lot of Oak Ridge members, and we've had a lot of Oak Ridge speakers over that time.
Actually, the guy who started it, and I helped him out, wife and I, and was Blount County.
Was who?
He was from Blount County.
Oh.
Okay. Not originally. But.
Yeah. So we've had speakers and members from all over East Tennessee.
He was a bit of a character, too, because I recall one time we were meeting at the candy factory. And
I remember that.
Yeah. And he was... He was a little bit of a control guy. He sort of tended to run things. That's one thing reason we incorporated. We kind of get things diversified some. But he was having a possible heart attack right before the meeting.
Wow.
And he called me from his wife called me from the hospital, and they're rolling him on a gurney, and he's talking to me, telling me what he wants to be said.
Oh, no. Did you go ahead and have it? And
oh, yeah.
Help?
Yeah, we were perfectly capable of doing it. He just liked to always be there and kind of
talk about selfless.
Yeah, he was an interesting guy, like I said. So we've had quite a long history and done quite a bit through the years in the community. And Lori mentioned the billboard. We're going to try to have another one again this year. So we're looking.
Is he going to say the same thing, or will it say something new?
We're looking for some new ideas. Mm. As an aside, if you want to come to the board meeting Sunday,
yeah.
You
have to. how about we're hellbound and come join us? Something like that.
So I like to, personally, I'd like to see something.
Inclusive.
No, actually, something a little edgy. Actually,
mm-hmm, really.
There's, this thing about being inclusive or edgy, but advertising-wise, edgy tends to work.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that you did as well as ASK, I'm talking about RET, you helped support the LGBT community by marching in the parade that they have every year. You have members that support them that way.
Yeah, we worked closely with. The other groups, and including the newest group, which is the Freedom from Religion Foundation East Tennessee chapter, which my wife is the president of at the moment. And she's actually going to come and talk sometime in the future here soon.
We're good.
East Tennessee is pretty active in the free thought community. You know, a lot of people are members of all the groups, and, well, I guess a percentage maybe. 30%. It's actually for all three of the groups, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're, I don't know how many, what would it be, 1,000, 2,000 have come through the groups over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, Alita, your wife, is the head of the Freedom from Religion Foundation local chapter. They have public meetings, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you want to give the date and time of those if people are interested?
I'll have to look at my calendar so you can talk a minute.
Okay.
I don't remember dates well.
My sinuses are really
good thing
getting
I'm not dating anymore, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's the second or third Wednesday, 7:00.
But it's not every month. So
it's not every month?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the reasons I never make the meetings is I'm here.
Yeah.
So I can't go. But, yes, Knoxville has the only Freedom from Religion Foundation chapter in Tennessee.
Right.
You would think there'd be one in Memphis or Nashville, but no, this is it. Of course, we would like to have chapters in both cities and in Chattanooga, but it just hasn't come around. If you'd like to start a Freedom from Religion chapter in your city, go to the website, ffrf.org, and search for how to start a chapter. Send them an email, whatever.
Yeah, the next meeting is Wednesday, July 18th. Oops, that's 2018. Let me look for the right year.
Unless they have a time machine.
I didn't overscroll, did I? All right, so it's amazing how many violations. Well, it's not amazing, actually. No. There are a tremendous amount of church-state violations, mm-hmm. especially in the schools, and especially in the rural, but even some of the cities are having a lot of violations too.
Yeah.
And the main strategy with the schools is to ignore any letters they get. Not all the schools, but a lot of them.
So you have to follow up with a threat.
Yeah, and it depends.
Excuse me,
the biggest problem is you have to have someone withstanding to be a litigant. And that's a lot of often hard to find in rural communities because you can be
ostracized, threatened.
It can be bad news for you, especially if a business.
Sure.
Or,
and, of course, what you're saying, well, Christians would never do that.
Yeah, right. It happens all the time. And also just abuse of children if they find out that they aren't good Christian children but actually good humanist children.
If, freedom from religion, if you find that you're having a problem with religion in school, that's the place you need to report it to. Go to ffrf.org, and there's a section there to record complaints. That would give them standing to to be able to send them letters and take legal action against the school, county, city, whatever, to be able to rectify the situation.
Yeah, sometimes it's actually better to contact
a local chapter.
Local chapter, because sometimes okay, we can handle it and not, they're really overburdened.
What's the website for the local chapter?
It's, if you just go to FFRFET, just search for that.
It'll FFRFET.org?
I believe so, but it's best just to type that in. You'll
sure.
find it, if you'll find it. Believe it or not, I'm now in 2020 because I was talking at the same time.
No.
But that's another free thought group that's doing it. Some important work, and should be supported.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Matter of fact, you also ordain ministers.
Oh, yes, ordain is not quite the right word, but...
commission.
One of them sitting over here next to me, by the way.
Yeah, I have an ordination from the Rationalists of East Tennessee.
Yeah, Rationalists of East Tennessee has a unique position in that
it's registered as a 501c3
religious organization. That was done for several reasons. One, just to test and make the point that we serve a lot of functions the same as the church. We have community support. We teach morals, teach how to study morals and how to think about them, and humanism as a guideline for morality. And we also do community support, and weddings would be one of those sort of things. So we were able to, and at the time, to be able to perform weddings was more restricted than it is now in Tennessee. But we have officiants, we call them, who can perform weddings mm-hmm. with under the standing of RET. We have three at the moment.
Yeah. Your wife married me one time.
Yep.
She performed the wedding.
You got to talk a minute because I'm having a terrible time finding this because I can't talk and scroll at the same time.
Yeah. Just like I was saying, there are several free thought and atheist organizations in East Tennessee. Don't feel like you're the only person out there. And if you'd like to contact any of us and make friends with any of us, just do a search online for Knoxville Atheists, and it'll take you either to our website or to the meetup group where we're listed. You can also contact Rationalists of East Tennessee by going to rationalists.org.
Okay, so like I said, it's not every month, so it was kind of throwing me off. So the next one I have on my calendar is going to be in June, the somethings.
What is going to be in June?
The FFRF East Tennessee meeting.
Oh, okay. The
they're
next
they're
one.
Held at the
Earth Fair
over by
Turkey Creek.
Turkey Creek. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, we used to have our meetings over there as well. So it's
going to be
stuck in my mind.
June 19th, 6 to 7:30. And again, you can check online for that. Or there's a meetup group for that too.
Yeah, but remember, you don't have to come to the meeting if you have a complaint about your school or student or somebody, a teacher that's trying to throw religion on your student or make your student even try to stand up for the oath. Just contact the local Freedom From Religion Foundation, and they have the wherewithal to be able to file a complaint, write letters, and if need be, take them to court.
Or if there's any governmental violations of state-church separation.
Right.
They were actually involved in the problem with the religious statement at the Knox County Police Department, which got quite a bit of attention. So
is there anything about the book that you wanted to mention or the foundation?
Yes, I've heard him talk about the book a couple of years ago. He sort of outlined it. It's really fascinating. He's a really great speaker, entertaining and extremely knowledgeable. Be well worth going to see. And
what's his name again?
Andrew Seidel.
Andrew Seidel.
He's an attorney for the Freedom of Religion Foundation and also their communications director, I believe, now. Because he's so good at communicating.
Okay. Well, real cool. We're coming down to the last 5 minutes. Do you have any final words or anything you'd like to you throw out before we wind this thing up. Have you finished with your book, your founding issues that you were talking about?
Oh, there's a lot more, but that is the main we can cover. I think we hit sort of the main things.
Okay.
So I think the only thing that another big difference is that the Constitution and the whole American concept is based on an evidence-based sort of approach, you know, court systems, everything
right.
else. And they came from English tradition, English common law, not from the Bible. The Bible really doesn't have anything except for the obvious things about stealing and murder, which have been in all societies.
Sure.
Have anything to do with the U.S.
Right.
Constitution.
The Ten Commandments are not really good moral guides. I mean, everything in there, even like not working on Sunday. If you do that, the Bible says you need to be killed. All of the Ten Commandments, they don't tell you. They just say, these are great moral guides. Well, the first four has nothing to do with morals. And then everything else that you do, if you break any of those laws, you're supposed to be killed. And how many people want to live under that kind of stricture?
Yeah, even the claims that the New Testament changed all that, actually, Jesus is anti-family and anti-material wealth and a lot of things. That are...
And he also said, not one jot or tittle of the old law shall pass away until all is fulfilled. And that means that we're supposed to still be living by those 613 commandments that are in the Old Testament.
Also, the whole idea of original sin, without that, which is the Old Testament, the New Testament is even more laughable
in the
crazy kind of human sacrifice aspect of it.
If we all have original sin inherited, then the Jesus saying, let those who are without sin cast the first stone, makes no sense. It's ridiculous because everybody has sin.
Well, again, the Bible's so full of contradictions.
It's
just amazing that people
right.
don't catch on as much as they do.
Right. He was probably speaking colloquially anyway, but at the same time, it didn't make much sense. Okay, I guess we can go ahead and wrap this up. We're at the top of the hour. This is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville. Hope you'll join us next time for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And with us tonight, we had Carl Lennendecker. Say hi and bye.
Hi and bye.
And this is Doubter 5 reminding you that everybody's going to some other religion's hell. Don't sweat it. The only time to worry about it is when they prove that souls, heavens, and hells are real. So don't sweat it. We'll see you next week. Doubter 5 out. See ya.